Well, good morning. I hereby call to order the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Meeting. Today's Thursday, April 19th, 2018. The time is 9:04 a.m. And our first item of business is our roll call.
Stephen Abrams.
Here.
Mary Lou Berger.
Here.
Joni Brinkman.
Here.
Paulette Burdick.
Here.
Joelle Flores.
Here.
Ann Gerwig. Shelley Petrolia.
Here.
Stephen Grant.
Here.
Susan Haney.
Here.
Lynn Hubbard. Keith James, Jim Koretsky,
here.
Maria Marino,
here.
Melissa McKinley is excused, Fred Pinto,
here.
Paul Orion, Pam Triola, Hal Valachet,
here.
Catherine Waldron,
here.
Jeremy Rogers,
here.
Steve Wilson. We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Mayor Pinto, will you please lead us in the prayer? Please rise.
God, we come before you today. We ask you for the guidance and inspiration to take the business matters before this body, that we may do things that are right for our citizens and right for the people of this county, and that we may have insight and understanding, and that we may share with each other our ideas, inspirations, and our passions. We ask for your grace upon this body, all things that we do, and to you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now have the pledge.
Right behind us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And welcome, everyone. We have some new members this morning. We want to welcome Mayor Petrolia to the board. We're thrilled to have her here. And Councilmember Jeremy Rogers representing Boca Raton. So thank you for joining our TPA family. We will now move to our next item, which is the adoption of our agenda. Nick, are there any changes?
No, Madam Chair.
I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Motion by Burdick, second by Pinto. Any further discussion? All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We'll now take up the minutes of March 15th, 2018. Are there any corrections or additions? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Petrolia, second by Marino. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We'll now move to comments from the chair and member comments. Not too many comments. I will be participating on Friday with a group through the United States Department of Transportation through their outreach from the White House. This is the same group that I was invited to the White House when the president rolled out the infrastructure announcements. Again, they just weigh in, and I believe it's because of my role as chair of the state MPO that they continue to include me. I will keep you all abreast of any information regarding funding opportunities for Florida and for Palm Beach County regarding that. Our next MPOAC meeting in June will be held in conjunction with the National Association of Regional Councils in Orlando. So that should be a nice combined synergy between the state MPO as well as the regional councils. So that concludes my reports. At this time, I will ask if there's any member that has a report that they would like to share with the board. Seeing none, we'll move directly to our executive director's report. Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're going to share a microphone this morning.
Okay.
Before you, members of the board, I do have a brief executive director's report. First and foremost, I want to highlight we have a flyer also on the dais for you this morning that we are conducting a TPA board member training event. This is a condensed local version of the weekend-long MPOAC Institute. We would much prefer you attend the weekend-long MPO Institute. I know Mayor Flores as well as Mayor Marino are scheduled to attend those events in May and June this year. But we wanted to make this opportunity to give you a perspective, kind of historical authority of MPO governing board members' roles and responsibilities. We wanted to make that accessible to you on a local scale, so we're actually conducting that event on Monday, May 7th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Flagler Gallery in West Palm Beach. So please do mark your calendar. Please plan to attend that event. I think it's going to be very informative and helpful to you. Update on the Brightline Supplemental Safety Measure construction and quiet zone status. First, West Palm Beach and Lake Worth are anticipated to issue their notices of establishment for an FEC quiet zone tomorrow. We expect them to formally issue those notices tomorrow, Friday, April 20th, which will make these quiet zones effective on May 11th. Remember, there's a 21-day notice period following the issuance, or burn-in period rather, following the issuance of the notice before those quiet zones become effective. And I do want to share verbally, as I mentioned via email to all of you, that Brightline recently notified the TPA that they're not going to be completing the necessary supplemental safety measures in Lantana, Hypoluxo, Boynton, Delray, and Boca until mid to late May. So once those items are complete, we will be working aggressively with each of those municipalities to file a similar notice of establishment at their choosing. Again, this is a city-by-city decision that we've enabled through the TPA funding to either choose to designate the portion of the FEC through your city as a quiet zone or not. But if you do choose to do that, we will be working aggressively with your staffs to implement that decision. I want to mention briefly that the South Florida Commuter Challenge is conducting, or South Florida Commuter, what is the name of the entity? Commuter Services, yes. South Florida Commuter Services is conducting their annual Commuter Challenge this month, throughout the month of April. DOT is leading that, and we are one of their transportation partners, and we're encouraging all of our commuting public to consider using alternate modes of transportation. Whether you're choosing to carpool instead of driving alone, try riding public transportation, bicycling, or even walking to work. You can pledge to do so at southfloridacommutes.com. I also want to mention that we are partnering again with the West Palm DDA, the Downtown Development Authority, to provide a bike valet service for the upcoming Sunfest event. So if you're interested in trying that, you can ride to the event on your bicycle, and we'll offer free bicycle parking for you, free secured parking for you, so you can skip the traffic headaches coming to and from that event and get right to the front of it. As Mayor Haney did mention, the MPOAC meeting is going to be held in June, coincident with the National Association of Regional Councils Conference, which will be in Orlando June 3rd through 6th. That event is also co-hosted by two of our Florida MPOs, both Metroplan Orlando and the Broward MPO. And if you're interested in attending, please do let me know. We have a travel budget that would support at least one of our governing board members attending that event. So we'd love to see more of you have an opportunity to engage with not only your statewide colleagues, but also national counterparts throughout the country that are doing similar things in their local communities. Do want to mention, in celebration of this introduction of service, that the Grand Classica began service out of the Port of Palm Beach this month. We're excited to have now two cruise ships providing service out of the Port of Palm Beach. And then a couple of updates staff-wise. First, Jeff Livergood, the Public Works Director for the City of Boynton Beach, will be retiring at the end of this month. Jeff has been a longtime partner of the TPA. He's been a wonderful asset to our communities and his investment in great transportation facilities and services. He's actually served as the chair of our Technical Advisory Committee for 3 years, all of 2015, 16, and 17. And he's going to be retiring at the end of this month, and we're just really thankful for his contributions to Palm Beach County and to the City of Boynton Beach. And then on a TPA staff update, we are seeking both a lead planner to serve as our bicycle and pedestrian coordinator, as well as a planner two to support our program management team. And if any of you have had an opportunity to meet Tim Verbeek from our staff, we are sorry to say that this is his last board meeting. He is actually going to be moving back to the Midwest. We brought him down and hoped that we could lure him to stay with the beautiful weather in Florida, but he's actually going to be moving back to the Midwest and taking a job in Chicago. So we're sorry to see him go. I know. The sentiment was the same at our staff level when we heard the decision. But we're sorry to see him go, but We are asking not that you would encourage your staff to apply, but that you would encourage friends, family, and others from around the region to maybe come to Palm Beach County and help us advance our transportation system. So, Madam Chair, that does wrap up my report.
Thank you. Members, any questions or comments on Nick's report? Commissioner Balache, followed by
Thank you. Nick, in terms of Brightline, when we were meeting as the Northern Extension of Tri-Rail Committee, we were told that Brightline is testing trains on the southern portion of the route around Dade County, Miami-Dade, and that would militate for or against Tri-Rail Coastal Link being able to operate on those same tracks. How is that Brightline testing coming along?
Honestly, they just began running preliminary passenger trains into the downtown of Miami, and I don't think they're even running full speed yet, but the question was...
Yeah, push your button.
No.
Well, the sharing the tracks is an issue for, you know, Brightline FEC with local traffic, and I can't remember who told us, but they said,
sure.
You know, as they determine whether they can operate joint, they're going to use Miami-Dade as a test project to see whether they can integrate Brightline FEC and...
Well, they can. It's
on or
no. There you go. Now,
right.
No,
right. Madam Chairman. It's not a test project. I mean, the Tri-Rail is going in as a platform at the downtown Miami station. Once the station opens for Brightline, then, speaking of periods for approval by the Federal Railroad Administration for the quiet zones, but similarly, after Brightline starts to operate, and then in order for Tri-Rail to operate, they need to commence service, and the positive train control needs to be approved, and our positive train control, the Tri-Rail's positive train control needs to be approved. Once that occurs, then we will be in service. The key was to have a connection from our existing tracks into their station, and that's been completed. So that's not an issue at all. It really boils down to the positive train control and having that in place and approved by the Federal Railroad Administration. But it's not a test. I mean, it would be the first station on Tri-Rail Coastal Link.
So I think when we asked...
Oh, fine. I mean, I don't know what your question was. It's hard to argue with Commissioner Valche if I don't know what he wants to argue about.
So in the North County Steering Committee for a Tri-Rail extension to Gardens and Jupiter, the question was asked, would FEC be supportive of allowing us to run Tri-Rail trains on their corridor? The answer we received was maybe, but we want to have experience running both Brightline and freight and Tri-Rail traffic on the corridor in Miami-Dade County to see what kind of operational issues occur, because we've modeled it and believe it's possible, but we want to see practically whether it really is or whether we have issues with scheduling and and conflicts.
Right.
So that was the response, and so I think he's asking.
Thank you. I understand the question. It's almost like the answer is you have to ask Brightline. I mean, we know we're going to be operating with them at the south end, and you know they promise things and make commitments, and eventually they do happen. So I'll remain optimistic.
Yeah. The biggest issue with Brightline moving their crews down to conclude the Dade County run is that they pulled them off of all of our crossings and our SSMs, which is why the rest of our cities are delayed on our quiet zone. So, and I've had a couple conversations with them about Palm Beach County's displeasure with that move. So,
yeah, I've told them too.
Yeah. All right. Further questions, Councilmember Kretzky, followed by Mayor Gehrig.
Not really a question, but just kind of a follow-up, you know, with Brightline, with the focus on trying to emphasize safety to the public and then also quiet zones, just a perspective, you know, in North County, you can't imagine how many questions we get about quiet zones because all people, you know, they read about in the paper and they think, well, when are we getting ours, you know? And the first thing I always answer is, well, first of all, before I tell them it's going to be years, because there's no, you know, the infrastructure improvements haven't happened, I emphasize that a quiet zone doesn't eliminate train horns. You still want them to be, you know, they just are no longer obligated to blow the horn at each intersection. But that, you know, in the event that there's something, we would all hope that the train conductor is still using the horn. So I just suggest that as, you know, everybody speaks with the public, that occasionally that's emphasized to them, right? That because people actually have a belief that you'll never hear a horn again.
Sure.
And since the focus should always be on safety, explaining to them right from the get-go that all it does is remove the obligation to blow the horn, because now there's features in place to protect the public. But anyway, I just want to suggest that.
Okay, great, thanks. Mayor Gorwick?
I just wanted to say on Nick's report on point number one, the board member training, I went to the MPOAC Institute for the weekend, and I still signed up for this member training. And you can call me blonde, and you would be correct, but in the meantime, this is, it's a lot to absorb, even over one weekend, so am I in error to sign up for both of these?
Not
okay.
At all.
I just, and that's what I wanted to encourage, even if you're going to do the weekend, when you're talking about all planning federally and grants and how all of this works for us, I'm doing both, so thank you.
No, that's a great, and I was on the steering committee that created the MPOAC Institute, and you know, our biggest problem is many, many more people than we can accommodate want to attend because it is such a wonderful and robust experience, but that's why we're having the one day here, kind of the condensed version, so.
It happens two times a year.
Yeah, it happens twice a year, and they just have so many seats.
MPO.
Yeah, one board member per MPO, so yeah. Which is why we're having the condensed version here so everyone can take advantage of it. So, okay. Yeah. Commissioner Valachie has one more.
Brightline item. I read that the members of CARE and representatives of two northern counties were appearing before the House Oversight, and I can't remember what committee, but they appeared, I think, yesterday. Any feedback? Did anybody hear anything
today.
About?
Today.
It's today.
Okay.
So we'll keep tuned in to see what happens there. Any further comments on the executive director's report? Seeing none, we'll now move to our consent agenda. Is there any member of the board that wishes to remove any consent agenda item for discussion? Seeing no one from forward, I'll entertain a motion. Moved by Pinto, second by Marino to adopt the consent agenda as presented. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed. We'll now move to general public comments. Is there any member of the public who would like to address the board on any general item that's not agended? Seeing no one come forward, we'll move directly to action items. And our first item is Amendment 4 to our fiscal year 18 through 22 TIP. From the FDOT regarding State Road 7. Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All right, briefly, this item is an action item because the funding that has been allocated to this board's number one major project priority, the extension of State Road 7, both the widening of it from Okeechobee to 60th and then the construction of a new roadway from 60th Street to North Lake Boulevard, that project was fully funded in fiscal year 17 of the department's work program. The funding was not obligated, the contract was not awarded for construction within fiscal year 17, so this action item actually brings the project funding into fiscal year 18, which for the state runs through June 30th, and says we will award a contract for construction of this project between now and June 30th. The reason we can deliver that commitment to you this morning is because the project has been advertised for construction. Bids are due on April 25th, next week, and we expect a contract to be awarded shortly following.
Questions on this item? Questions? No questions? No discussion? Is there any presentation, Nick, other than what you just did?
No, that's
nope. Okay. If there's no questions or discussion.
Item 2A.
Second. Okay, so a motion by Abrams and a second by Berger to adopt item 2A. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Opposed.
Nay.
Okay. The record will reflect that Commissioner Ryan and Commissioner Nearing both voted in opposition. Oh, and Commissioner Waldron as well. All right, so there were three nays. All right. Very good. We will now move to item 2B, which is a resolution establishing a policy for subsidy awards of transportation-related activities. Nick?
Madam Chair, I actually have on the screen, and I'm wondering how visible that is for most of our board members now that I'm seeing it. I'll tell you what, I'll talk you through the highlights of this request. We want the Transportation Planning Agency to be an effective partner for transportation-related events within our community. One of the ways to be an effective partner to promote both the visibility and opportunities for people in the community to get involved in this agency's decisions is to act as a sponsor, a co-supporter of transportation-related events. And we're asking that if you are willing to designate the authority to me for committing this agency to sponsor in a small amount certain events that are intimately supportive or related to the mission and vision of this agency, that you would delegate that authority to me for an amount not to exceed $2,000 per event for activities, initiatives, and events that align with our mission and purpose. We have identified several standards and conditions that would need to be present in any subsidy award agreement that we would make. And again, anything above that $2,000 amount, we would bring to you and ask you for approval. So that's essentially my ask. If you have any questions on the details, I'd be happy to try to field those.
Mayor Gerwig.
Is there a limit as to how many events we would choose? That's I'm not concerned. I think that you have good discretion, but in the meantime, how many do we perceive or expect?
Yeah, what's our budget line item?
What's our budget?
So,
yeah, that's 2,000 per event or 2,000 max for the year?
No.
2,000 per event is how it reads. So if there's 10 of them, you know, that's one thing. If there's 105, so.
Right. And I'm reading it.
It's determined by your budget.
And it is that I can only award sponsorship support or subsidy support consistent with the line item budget for the use of local membership dues that will be approved by this governing board.
And what is that currently?
So we don't have a line item for that currently, so this doesn't even apply until we get into fiscal year 19, have member dues, and have an established budget for sponsorship support of these kinds of events. Our placeholder that we showed to this board last month, our draft proposal for the use of those member dues, was that we wouldn't spend more than $5,000 in the year.
So
this is not a big,
right,
your exposure is limited to $5,000.
Not to exceed.
Yeah.
Mayor Grant.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right, so it's no, we're going to give Nick, this resolution gives Nick the authority to spend up to $2,000, and our line item we anticipate is at $5,000 for the year, so we don't have to worry about, you know, overstepping our boundaries here. Any further questions or comments on this matter? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adopt item 2B.
So moved.
Second.
So we have a motion by Mayor Grant and a second by Commissioner Ryan. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Great. We'll now move on to our information items, and our first item, 3A, is Palm Tree and Root Performance Maximization Update. And Clinton Forbes is here to speak with us. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Clinton Forbes, the executive director of Palm Tran.
I don't know if your microphone
in this facility.
Clinton.
Is it not on?
Margarita, she's a little Miss Technology, isn't she?
I think it's a dead wire.
No, it's a dead wire. That's right.
No problem. I think
you can hear
me. You can hear me.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you stand in the middle if you're not going to use the mic?
So you can take shots.
No problem.
Sure, he likes performing. It's like performance art.
He does.
All right, that's
perfect.
Better.
Very
good. Thank you.
Welcome.
good morning again, Madam Chair and members of the Transportation Planning Agency. You know, this is my first time in this facility, and I didn't picture this facility to look so fantastic, so I am really impressed.
Well, we need to thank Mayor Flores for hosting us today, which I neglected to do earlier.
Yeah, so Thank you for this opportunity to provide our progress on the route performance maximization project. We have a team of folks who are going to make the presentation, but I just wanted to provide some introductory remarks on the RPM. I also would like to thank Nick and his team for the partnership that we've established over the last couple years and working on this project. And he is a he and his team are major stakeholders in this project. As you may recall, the first phase of our RPM project was really to conduct a 30,000-foot review of our bus transit network system. And we used Jarrett Walker & Associates, internationally known, recognized bus network design consultant, to help us with that work last summer. That culminated with a workshop with the Board of County Commissioners in November of last year, where we, again, had a 30,000-foot look at the opportunities that our bus network presented. We presented that to the Board of County Commissioners in November and really sought direction from the board on where we should go from there. We essentially asked two questions, and there were two tough questions to the board. Considering that we are working within the existing resources of PalmTran to operate our public transit system, it's in rounded numbers $100 million annually. Working with existing resources of a $100 million, what is the direction of the board? Should we modify our transit system to concentrate our investment where most of the transit ridership lies or potential ridership growth could be, which the trade-off to that would be loss of service other places where transit ridership isn't as productive? Or should we concentrate our $100 million investment in a coverage type model where no matter where you stand in the county, you can get some transit service? It may not be as fast and reliable, but you'll get some transit service. And so we posed that question to the board, and that's a tough question because there are trade-offs, especially when you're dealing with what is called the ridership model, where, again, you're focusing your resources on investing in high-density areas. So I think the direction from the board was pretty clear. Use your existing resources to enhance the existing network, which we now are referring to as our enhanced coverage approach, our enhanced coverage model. And the other direction, and it came from Commissioner Valachey mostly, and that was our schedule was to implement this in February 2019. Again, that was mostly driven by our procurement schedule, the public involvement, and Commissioner Valachey and other commissioners said no, accelerate it. We want it sooner. And so we worked closely with our team to accelerate that schedule, and you'll hear how we've done in terms of our implementation schedule for this enhanced route performance maximization option. So what would this do? Well, we hope that it'll find millions of dollars in efficiencies so that we will be able to reinvest those efficiencies, those savings, to provide additional service, to provide additional frequency, to provide a potentially additional access or transit in areas that we currently don't serve. So we hope that we find millions of dollars of efficiency so we can reinvest it in the system. But we have to manage our expectations here. This is a foundational project. And I recognize that building a foundation in isolation doesn't get it done. It's like pouring the concrete and the foundation for a building and saying it's done. No, it's not. And so this is the foundation. We have a very ambitious plan for transit in this community, but we have to have a strong foundation first. And so that's what we're doing here with this project. There will be, even though it is an enhanced coverage option, there will be gains in ridership and better service, but probably not huge gains. But at the end of the day, we believe that this system that we're going to redesign will emerge as better transit service for our community. And so with that, I have the project manager, Khalid Shamoot, who's the director of transit planning for PalmTran, and our fantastic team of consultants here, Tyndale Oliver and Adams Consulting, that will take us through the brief presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Clinton.
Good morning. Thank you, Clinton. Madam Chair and members of the TPA Board, thank you for giving us this opportunity to just give you a quick update on the RPM project. And I think Clinton did a great job in covering some of the introductory slides, so I'm going to skip in interest of time as well. I think I got this. All right, good. So very briefly, for those who may not be aware or familiar with the RPM approach, the route performance maximization, really the goals, the main objectives is to make some enhancements to the current bus network so that customers will have a better experience, they can connect faster to their, you know, on their journey, get to their destinations a little bit faster, have a more efficient system where we as an agency, we're making, you know, providing better service at a lower cost to us. So as you heard from Clinton, these resources or the inefficiencies that we can find, we can put those resources elsewhere where they're needed, as well as to make some kind of improved technologies. And given the time constraint, some of the technologies we're looking at implementing, such as providing Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi on board the vehicles, and have better customer information, whether it's printed material or real-time information where my bus is, how to make a trip from A to B, and so on. And that's really critical for the success of the transit system itself. We approached this in two phases. Phase one, which was completed, was to really give us a general overview of what options we may have and how to proceed with phase two. Phase one was completed last year. And again, Clinton covered that. We had Jarrett Walker, and with involvement from a variety of different agencies and departments of the county. And it was a really successful effort. And the two alternatives that were proposed were either the ridership or the enhanced coverage. And based on the interaction with the Board of County Commissioners, the enhanced coverage was the more favorable approach for obvious reasons, where we're still maintaining almost the same coverage that we have right now, minus the very inefficient areas where, you know, almost nobody is riding, and taking these resources and reinvesting them. Or in some cases, even if there's inefficient areas, that's not necessarily because people don't want to ride. It's because we, as an agency, we're not providing the frequency of service or the span of service. So we'll be looking at that. And so even if there's not much ridership in a particular area, we're looking at the reasons and the causes. And if it is a matter of, you know, increasing the level of service, then we're going to do that. So it's the basically the enhanced coverage will still provide almost the same coverage we're providing right now, but with a better level of service in terms of frequencies, span of service, and even the directness of some of the routes. We understand that some of our routes, at least segments of some of our routes, may be kind of like spaghetti, where, you know, there are too many turns right and lefts, and that impacts the efficiency of the service. Now we started phase two, which is looking, and there are two parts of phase two. The first part is the technical, looking at the detailed analysis of all of the routes, the ridership, the bus stops, locations, the scheduling, travel times, and all of that, so we can really come up with a detailed plan to implement on the street at the end of September. The second part, which is equally important, is the public outreach and involvement. So we'll be holding about 30 events across the county, including three major meetings that we're calling as summits. And you will, in the coming days or couple weeks, you'll be receiving some of those notifications and let you know about the locations. So it's going to be a really expansive public involvement effort, because because, again, we need the public's input. We've done some of that last year, but this is going to be a more orchestrated, you know, and intensive effort to get all the input from the public so we can try to meet as much of their needs and demands as possible. The two consultants, as Clinton mentioned, we have Tyndall Oliver, represented by Tim Crobon here. They'll be focusing on the technical aspect of the RPM Phase 2, the network itself, the routes, bus stops, locations, Title 6, etc. And Adam Consulting Group with C. Robinson Associate, represented by Davika Thompson, sitting there as well. And, you know, again, their main task is the public outreach. Very quickly, the timeline. We had the kickoff a couple of weeks ago. We already started working with our consultants. Consultants are extremely busy doing everything that they need to do. We are planning on carrying out the public outreach in two waves. The first wave would be about the first 2 weeks of May. We'll be hitting 12 to 15 different locations with public outreach and involvement. We come back with the public input. We're going to work our plans, the network, the routes, et cetera, based on the input we get. Then we go back to the public first couple weeks of June with certain recommendations based on the input we got. And basically we'll tell the public, we heard you, this is what we're proposing. This is what we can afford really to also propose. And we're going to get further feedback from them. We're going to work, you know, tweak our plans and finalize our plans before taking it to the Pantrans Service Board and then the BCC for final approval and implementation at the very end of September. at the meantime, we've been doing some marketing as well as outreach activities, whether it's the seed drops, as you can see some of these, it's not working anyway, like, you know, this is coming soon, it's here, this is what's happening, just to get the public, you know, aware of what's going on, and hopefully they get the message to attend these outreach events as well. We're doing t-shirts again as to grab attention to the effort. We've already had a website for the project itself, and we're already getting quite a bit of feedback, as you can see from that sample there. We are designing a bus wraps, and those will be coming soon. Again, just to drive the message so we get more involvement from the public in our activities. Some of the comments we've already received. And thank you. I think I missed a slide there, which is important because I'll just take half a minute. The team, we have a steering committee that's established and participate in the kickoff, and they will be leading and managing the entire project. The steering committee comprises of PALM staff, PALM staff, in addition to representation from TPA. Nick and Valerie are on the steering committee. We have Patrick Rutter, executive director of PZNB, as well as David Ricks, county engineer, are also on the steering committee. And with that, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, members. Any questions? Councilmember Kretzky, followed by Mayor Burdick.
The number of questions I have depends upon the answers. I didn't see the Jupiter route on the existing route. Is it still going to exist? Or?
Those two maps were a product of the Jarrett Walker study, and those were more high-level approach and scenarios. Right now, we are working on the more detailed things, so everything is on the table.
Okay. So, because I would have liked to have gotten this ahead of the meeting so I could have looked at it, but I'm sure others would have. But so I shouldn't get excited that in a negative way that just because an existing route is not shown doesn't mean it's
correct.
Okay.
And just to
correct.
Clarify, the coverage, enhanced coverage model means that no routes will be eliminated.
Okay, good.
They may be adjusted, they may be a streamlined, making them more efficient, but no routes will be eliminated. From the enhanced coverage approach.
Okay. And first of all, you know, I'm supportive of what I'm hearing is being done, but just a suggestion that, you know, hopefully it still is integrated and open to other developments. You know, I can tell you that. I'm just speaking from a Jupiter elected official perspective. You know, for many years we didn't have any transit, and You know, we had a bus return, service return, you know, some years ago, and it's interesting. We poll our residents on a periodic basis, and in our last poll, I think satisfaction with transit service was the lowest of any of the attributes. We accepted that as something that's we probably had little influence about, not feeling as a victim, but realizing that our community isn't ripe for much more than we have, but we at least have some transit, and we want to continue that, and we recognize our part in continuing to try to help, you know, because we've put in bus stops and whatever, so I would hope that we continue to collaboratively work on that, and I appreciate how Palmtran has been receptive to moving routes around and whatever to better serve our community, so I want to thank you for that. And but just this initiative should make sure that it's connecting up with any other maybe smaller initiatives that are happening. Like, for example, just yesterday I got an email where I work for FPL. So in Juneau Beach we have, and Nick may know about this, but I see of a three-month pilot that is being started up to provide bus service to the Tri-Rail station from a pretty major employment center. And it's going to be mornings, you know, for a three-hour period, mornings and nights. So, you know, I know we had separately this US-1 study, and my point is that there may be other things that have been going on and are continuing to go on that should be, you all should be aware about to make sure, because if, you know, if this pilot works, I'm not sure who initiated it, but it sure sounds great. Anybody, you know, works where I work and live south, is now they may have a legitimate option to take Tri-Rail and not have to get in the car. And isn't that what we're all about here, right? So I wanted to just emphasize that, and hopefully that if you hadn't heard about that, you know, I'm showing it and should be integrated into your studies, because those are the enhancements that need to be done.
To be honest, I haven't heard about that product in specific. My staff may have, but I can assure you that We will not be working in vacuum. As a matter of fact, our consultants already have copies of all the studies that have been done or underway, such as the US-180 and so on. We're in close coordination with the TPA on that. And all of these projects will be taken into consideration as we plan for the phase two.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Commissioner Burdick.
Thank you. Well, we recognize that the largest transportation service is our school district in Palm Beach County. I would ask that you would consider adding to your committee a representative from the school district. Many of us drove 6th Avenue coming west, and when we got on Malaluka, on the left-hand side, there were about at least 30 children standing on the sidewalk with perhaps 2.5 feet from Malaluka, and the cars were flying by. So wherever we can look at improving bus stop locations and safety and shelters, the school district, I think, needs to be part of that conversation so that maybe we can look at aligning the future improvements to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great suggestion. Yes. Mayor Grant.
So my first main question is that did the report include
Did the report include upgraded payments abilities, whether it be credit cards or a new magnetic strip or the QR codes?
If I may, that's a separate project which is undergoing right now, and all of the media that you mentioned are on the table for that system. It's our fair payment system. We are also in, talking to Broward County, Miami, and Tri-Rail so that we have more of a regional system. But all of these options are still on the table. We will have an RFP out before the end of this year, and that's the direction we're taking, is to make it as convenient as possible, regardless of what option you want to use, whether it's cash, credit card, and so on.
Okay, thank you. I guess the next is that I wasn't able to see this report, so could I get a copy sent to, the board? It was
Nick, we can put this up on our website.
Are you just asking for the slides, the presentation?
The presentation, I guess, and also the Jared Walker report, is that also up online?
You can give that to you and put that online as well.
Sure.
All right. Okay. The next thing is that, I took the Bolt bus, and I was looking at the hours that it was 3 times in 1 hour, and that was it. Is that also going to be expanded? So instead of maybe three times in 1 hour, it'd be three times in 3 hours, so that people who need to work at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock in the morning don't have to wait, you know, an hour before work or after work?
I probably would be able to answer that question in a few weeks after we're done with all the detailed analysis. But the Bolt is certainly one of the services that we're focusing on, because we know we have some issues there. And we're trying to find out what's really the best way of using the resources of the Bolt as well as Route 1. Keeping in mind that the TPA is also doing, you know, the US 1 study, which is not going to be implemented next year, but that's a long term. So we're also taking that into consideration. So hopefully by mid-June, I'll be able to answer your question in more details.
I guess my last question is regarding the bus shelters. Is there a plan to improve bus shelters, you know, including, I guess, Wi-Fi there or charging stations, so that people who are waiting for the bus have a more of a reason to wait for the bus?
Let me just handle that.
So
you guys are covering all of our priority projects. So the RPM is number one. Our fare collection project is number two, and bus shelters is number three. And so we've kind of slowed the bus shelter plan, because it's not only an expansion plan, it is a replacement in the expansion plan. Our bus shelters have reached their useful life, the current ones that we have out in our facilities, and I call it street crime. It also, you know, provides a passenger amenity. It also represents our community. I wish we could afford the ones in Palm Beach Gardens.
But art and public places.
So we've slowed that, because a part of the RPM is evaluating our bus stops. And so there may be a number of bus stops that are going to be removed, because no one stands there and rides. And so if we remove, we have 3,000 bus stops. If we remove a percentage of those, it speeds up our system. And so we don't want to install additional bus shelters going through that process. So that is a priority project of ours that we are working on diligently.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Dalashe.
Thank you. When we talked about this at the commission, we briefly touched on the role of TNCs in the overall system. I'm sure that's evolved in the last 5 months. Could you give us an update on how you envision TNCs integrating with our, you know, core system?
Sure. Yes, and again, excellent point. And TNCs already have, you know, a role in transit in general, and will probably have a bigger role, you know, in the near future. For this particular project, RPM Phase 2, which is, you know, happening this year, and with given the limited budget, or, you know, cost neutral, TNCs will not be part of this phase. However, our consultant, Tender Oliver, will also make recommendations for the medium and long-term implementations, certain recommendations that in 2 or 3 years you need to look at this and do this and make suggestions. TNCs will definitely be part of that. But for the current implementation, and by end of September, TNCs, there's just not enough time to do all what needs to be done. But I can see it happening within the next maybe 2 to 3 years, and there's a great, you know, role for it, absolutely.
Thank you.
Commissioner Neal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you've already answered this question, and it's one of the biggest concerns that I oftentimes hear, and it's the frequency of service. But it sounds like, both through your analysis and public comment, that it's a fluid process, and that's going to be worked out, so to speak, in terms of frequency of service and where we land on that.
Correct. That's part of the RPM. But again, as Clinton mentioned, you know, just to manage the expectations, yes, there are inefficiencies in the current system, and we're going to try to identify these and reinvest them. But definitely we will not be running each and every route at 10-15 minute frequency. That's going to take lots of money. What we're hoping is, through this exercise, is and to show that Pantran is running very efficiently after we're done with RPM and implemented, and that we are using our resources in a you know, very efficient way, that we can build the trust with our public, as well as the board, and maybe down the road, a year or two, then more funds will be available for us so that we can expand. Because quite frankly, the current service that we're providing is not enough by any measure for this size of a community. And we have to expand, and that's going to take additional resources, absolutely.
Mayor Triola.
I'm very excited about the upgrades that you're going to be doing to the system and the efficiencies in Lake Worth. As you well know, we're one of the highest levels of ridership, and our residents rely on it as their main form of transportation to and from work. So that's number one and first and foremost. Whenever we discuss the buses, I can't help but mention that our beach be returned to the bus routes. We're not only a local beach, we're also a county beach. And we're also the beautiful cities of West Palm Beach, Green Acres, host today, Wellington, and whatnot, use our beach. So having that service return would sure be swell.
And let me just jump in here, Holly. So we need to talk.
Yeah, okay.
The board.
That means the answer is no.
That expansion, and it kind of stopped at the city steps. And so we really need to coordinate. It's in our budget. It makes sense. It's going to boost ridership. So we really need to talk about how we get that implemented. And maybe, through the RPM, that would be the track to do that. But just if there's just any indication of how access to transit improves the quality of life and provides better mobility for a community, is the Lake Worth Green Acres area. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of this year, Route 4 that traverses from Haverhill and it truncated at Okeechobee, the Board of County Commissioners supported us in expanding that to serve the new 15 ballpark of the Palm Beaches and the VA, a 6-mile extension. We implemented that in January. We have experienced an 80% increase in ridership.
Wow.
80%. And so, that is all the opportunity that's out there in this community for transit. So we hope that's a good indication of what we're going to have with our RPM.
Well, I'm ready and waiting, so anytime you want to talk, thank you.
Mayor Flores.
As you know, the county, some of us have been working on affordable housing and workforce housing, and how do we continue to provide that? And as we go through that, I also hope that you guys can mirror those efforts there so that those individuals will get the service. So I want you guys to keep an eye on that movement from the county and different municipalities and how we're trying to work together. But as the mayor just mentioned, this central part of the county, Green Acres, all the way down to Lake Worth, this is right now we are servicing that affordable workforce housing. So I commend you on the work that you're doing, and I hope that you guys continue to provide that to our residents. It's very important. So thank you.
Mayor Pinto.
Thank you, Mayor Chair. I guess if you mentioned there was a working committee that you have in place, and I guess my question is, on that committee, who's representing the concerns or viewpoints from the Western communities?
On the steering committee, we don't have somebody specific from the Western community. However, it is central focus for us, the central committee, the GLADES, and we've been working with them very closely for the past year or so. And as a matter of fact, we are planning on some changes so that we can cover some of the areas that may potentially lose some of the existing service based on the express. But we have close coordination with them as well as with the FDOT.
Well, I don't know if it's possible. I'd like to you consider having someone who really can speak and kind of represent the concerns and the needs. And when I say the Western communities, I'm talking all the way out to the Glades, but I'm also talking about like Wellington and Walpole Beach.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And one of the notions that we've been thinking about, hoping that would come to fruition, is a more enhanced express service for folks to get from the west to the east and back. So in this process, I would really like to suggest we include that thinking and concept and the as you develop your new RPM model. So.
Okay.
Mayor Pinto, Tavika Thompson, to address your question, while we don't have any more specific information with the communities on the steering committee, we do have plans in the outreach, which everyone will see soon, to come to Royal Palm Beach and Wellington to host meetings, as well as to speak with existing riders at Hub. So there will be a heavy presence out there to get feedback from the community, and I'll work with you and many of your offices to make certain that we're speaking to your constituents and getting their feedback. So we will address that.
And so at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have all this public outreach and input process, which we welcome. It's going to be open season on us, right? And we're going to you know, kind of pack it all up for the board. And what you'll have, what we're going to have is all of these needs and this amount of resources. And so, you know, again, I want to manage the expectations. We're going to try, we think we're going to do some good things with this, but we're going to have all of these needs and this amount of resources when we gather this public input to present to the board.
Thank you. Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up on your working with or not working with the City of West Palm Beach. I know that we have, what we're in the middle of right now is looking at expanding our trolley service, and that we could go further out of the downtown. And I know that in conversations, one of the issues is not duplicating or supporting what's going on with Palmtran. So I've heard one that you, the city is working with you, and I've heard from somebody else that that's was kind of taken off the table. So is that continuing those conversations?
I mean, we've always had good working relationship with them. We're also coordinating with them on their study with the JH worker who did our original study, and they were also part of the workshop that we did a few months ago as part of the of phase one. So and we are coordinating on all of that, even you know on the tent site or what they call the tent site, and so on. Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that. But
to be clear, Virginia Baker and Todd Von Laren has re-energized that collaboration.
Okay.
I felt it when I came here to Palm Beach. Like, what's going on between the city and the But I will tell you that the working relationship is great now between the city administrators and Palmtran and the county with respect to the tent site and what we're doing. In fact, they get, you know, my boss has called me and said, we want your direct involvement with the mobility study and Palmtran. And we'll see how that works out, you know, as we endeavor with these two projects.
Great. And then one other point, Mayor Grant mentioned about the bus stops, the bus shelters, Wi-Fi, and charging stations. You know, we've been from FP&L, they have come to us and asked us to put up some solar stations for exactly that. So when you get to that stage of your bus shelters, I ask that you reach out to FP&L and see if they can't help with that, because there's a lot of technology going on there, and maybe you can get some help.
Great, thank you.
Councilmember Brinkman.
I just wanted to follow up a little bit on Commissioner Burdick's comment on the school board interaction. I know Palmtran is a reviewer on all the county projects, but I'm not sure how much they interact with each municipality in Palm Beach County, because I know lots of times we do work with the school board, and so we'll create a school bus shelter that may be on a main thoroughfare, and there may be some opportunities. It might just be as simple as sending an email out to every city saying, hey, can we participate, because if you can provide your requirements, maybe there's some synergy there with the private sector and developments where we can make a bus shelter that serves both needs at the same time. So that's my only comment.
Good point. Mayor Petrolio.
Good morning. I don't know if this is on or not, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. In following up with the bus shelters, it sounds to me like you all are considering eliminating some. How would you know in a city where to possibly put some, because I've had several requests in Delray Beach of areas that are in need of bus shelters, maybe some that are obsolete. Is there a plan to possibly add some additional bus shelters where there would be a need? And how would you find that out?
Yeah, thank you. Currently, the shelters that are under Palm Tran, this is a private contractor with whom we have a contract. So they provide the shelters and they put ads, but the location has to satisfy, you know, certain criteria because of, you know they're putting ads there. So certain, you know, traffic volumes, whether it's vehicle or pedestrian, has to be met. So, you know, there's some constraints there. And in other locations, some of the cities have put up their own shelters just to provide that additional service. As part of RPM Phase 2, we will also evaluate where we really need shelters. And there's a criteria for that, that if we have at least 25 boardings, you know, per day at a particular bus stop, then that would qualify for a shelter. And we'll take that into consideration. It may not meet the criteria for the advertisement shelter vendor to put up a shelter there, then we have to work out something, you know, in terms of cost and how we're going to install it. So we will work with the cities on those cases.
The location that I was speaking about is a very high traffic area, so I don't think it would be an issue about the okay. advertisement. I don't know about the number of people getting on, but how could I get that information to you so at least you could look at this as a potential?
I can talk to you after the meeting. I'll give you my email.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Commissioner Burdick.
Thank you. Just briefly, two comments. The thought of expanding service outside our current service area is very problematic to the county because it's not just Palm Tran bus. Once we expand service, then the ADA, American for Disabilities, pops, clicks in, where then we're required to provide transportation. And even though the $7 per individual is a lot for many of our individuals with disabilities, the county then, all of us, have to pay $55 to supplement that service. Some of the initiatives that the county has done, if you are an adult with disabilities, you can ride Palm Tran for free. So we need your assistance with letting your residents know that free that service is available if they can get themselves to the Palm Tran routes.
Right.
Because that's part of the main problem that we are facing with the expansion of service in any area.
What's the qualification
Thank
on that?
Thank you very much.
What's the qualification on that?
You have to go. There's forms that you have to go fill out.
Eligible to ride at the Palm Tran connection, which is a door-to-door service. We have, the board has set policy where you can ride the fixed route service free. And so we encourage those who can that are disabled to ride the fixed route because it's a cheaper system per customer. And so I think that's a great policy and it's a great service for the community.
Councilmember Hubbard.
My question too borders on the shelters. In Riviera Beach, there is a great need for shelters, and I know on the list of priorities you stated that it's number three, and some shelters possibly will be removed after this, stops will be removed after the study. But what I wanted to see is how can we get Riviera Beach looked at now within the study that you're doing, because there's always been a call for shelters there, and how can we address that without going back and waiting till after the study is totally complete.
So again, with the outreach efforts, one of the plans is to get with you and the other council members to make sure that we are speaking to your constituents and hearing those concerns. So we will be reaching out to you to schedule a time to come out to host a town hall meeting, have the citizens come out, and we'll take that feedback to the report and present that. So if shelters are a concern, then that will be addressed when we have that meeting with you all.
And so we know now today what stops will likely be removed and what stops wouldn't. There is a little quagmire in with respect to our existing shelter contract that we're working closely with the county attorneys on. It's not very favorable to the county.
No, it's not.
In terms of expanding new shelters in our footprint. And so we're working on that. That's a part of the delay as well. In terms of our using that existing contract to expand. And so we could work with you very, very soon on identifying. Our plan is to install 50 new shelters in unincorporated Palm Beach County every year. Your city, like others, is a high ridership, high transit ridership city. And so we want to make sure our customers are protected from the inclement weather in Fort Floyd. So it is a priority of ours, and we'll get a meeting on your calendar really quick.
One other thing. How much do the advertisement play in whether or not a shelter is installed? If the vendor that fills his advertising isn't meeting that constituency, would that play a big role in whether or not we're going to be able to get shelter?
Not with our current plan. The advertising helps offset some of the
costs
and construction costs of a shelter. We should always try to do that, to be good stewards of public dollars, just to have
sure.
the private sector participate. With our plan, we have a number of shelters that we're going to install that will not have advertising and will not need advertising in order to be installed. So it does play a small role, and we do get some revenue dollars from the advertisement, but we can do the other things as well.
Thank you.
Great. Any further comments or questions of PalmTran? If not, thank you so much. We'll make sure if you can work with Nick to get all this information on the study up on our website as far and the outreach as well for the local meeting so we as members can make sure that our constituencies participate.
Will do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all so much. What a great discussion. At this time, Nick's going to make a very important introduction.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was hoping to do this earlier in the meeting, but I do want to take this advantage to introduce Paul Y. Paul is the new director for Florida's Turnpike Enterprise. I want to make sure you know him by name, by face. Give him a chance to briefly say hello and good morning. And as an introduction to Paul, I want to mention that the Turnpike Enterprise in Palm Beach County is expected to make nearly a $2 billion investment in their system capacity in the next 5 to 10 years. So he's a very important person for the state allocating resources into this part of Florida, and we look forward to hearing from him.
Nick, would you restate his name again for us?
Paul is, Paul, and then last name is Y, W-A-I.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate the board having me here today and introducing me. Although my office and headquarters is in Turnpike in Orlando, I'm a lifelong South Florida resident. I grew up down here in Broward County. And just, I understand the challenges of mobility of people and goods and for those that live here, work here, and play here. And, not many family events and gatherings go by without me getting to hear about the mobility challenges. Oh, friends too, especially when they realize I work for the Turnpike. And normally the first thing I will tell them is I pay tolls too. So I appreciate the opportunity to be involved with Palm Beach TPA. Victoria is a regular participant of the meetings here. And what I would like to say is for Palm Beach County, having been part of the Turnpike since the mid-90s, I commend the leadership of Palm Beach County of having that vision and discipline as it comes to development and the balance of mobility and people and goods in the corridor of the Turnpike and the role that we have for the community.
Thank you, Mr. Director. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for participating. We look forward to collaborating with you on the transportation needs of Palm Beach County. Thanks so much. We'll now move to item 3B, which is our TPA Transition Steering Committee update. In our packets that were sent to you was a chart showing where we are in the process. If you go down that packet, our legal services agreement, we completed that back in February, and Paul Googleman is here on board guiding us legally. Our membership dues resolutions have been sent to all communities in May. Nick's currently working with several communities to look into our capital float agreements. So I know that many of our cities and our finance directors have been working with the TPA to discuss the possibility of that. Our procurement policy was completed back in December. Nick can give us an update on our site selection services and the look for, the search for office space, which is currently underway. And our floating board meetings for the 2018 schedule has been completed, and it was sent to everyone in February. We're still looking forward to moving forward with our employee handbook and all the payroll services and audit services and all those other things that would be required for our complete independence. And notable is our amended staff services agreement with Palm Beach County was executed in April on the 10th. So we were pleased about the extension for that. So it was, Nick, do you have anything further to add about any of the progress on the transition committee?
Madam Chair, just briefly, on the following page in the packet, we've identified anticipated local board action dates for each of the local requested member dues items. And if I have shown one or the other, and you know exactly which date for your local community will this member dues request will be heard, if you could just send me a note, and I'll make sure that we reflect that properly. And again, I want to offer for any of the communities that would like me to show up, or anyone from our staff to show up and tell the rest of your local board a little bit more about the TPA, what we do, how we operate, and why we're asking you to now make this action. We're happy to do that.
Adam.
Commissioner Abrams.
Nick, what's the status, if any, of trying to identify municipalities that will serve as the bank?
Sure. So that's also on the sheet. There are, I think, six different local governments who have asked their staff to evaluate the pros and cons of this relationship and to see if they're willing to provide this service. So I'm talking with all six of them. And I've had a couple more express interest, but no one has said we're ready to sign. Well, so it's in process, but we've seen a lot of local governments say, yeah, we understand what you need, and we think we're a potential provider of that.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of interest in participating, so that's a good thing. Commissioner Balashay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nick, when we go out to these cities and the county, are we talking about the terms of the loan, the covenants? Because I think I know at least at the county level, there's quite a bit of misunderstanding, and for some reason, I think our staff thinks this is a grant that you can do whatever you want with, and I tried to explain to them that this is actually a loan, you know, which has terms as far as what the use of proceeds are, and also that it pays interest. I know we can't pay interest per se, but you're offered to provide, you know, reimbursement for administrative costs.
Sure.
Serves as a proxy for interest, but I don't think people are getting that impression from this either. So it's just a suggestion that you'd be more explicit in terms of this being a loan, not a grant, and that you're going to receive interest for it.
Sure. And I think we have had decent conversations with county administrative staff, but we'll certainly reinforce that message. One of the key points that I want to make sure all the members understand, it is indeed a loan that will be fully repaid by the TPA upon receipt of reimbursement funds, but then we're going to borrow the money again because we're going to need it for operations of the agency, and then we're going to get reimbursed again and give it back to you. One of the key points that I want you to understand is that if you as a municipality or as the county are willing to provide these funds to the agency, you are doing so making an upfront determination. We're asking you to make an upfront determination that the funds are being used for a bona fide transportation planning government purpose. By making that upfront determination, we are also asking you not to scrutinize or evaluate the expenditure of every dollar that you have loaned us. And that's an important point. We are doing this so that this agency, sitting as the governing board, is the directing agency for the use of those funds, and I don't have to go to a county administrator or a city manager and say, can I spend your dollar that you're loaning me on paper for my copy machine? We don't want that kind of oversight for this agency. We are only going to be doing transportation planning activities with this money, and we want to give each of the members who are willing to provide this loan the certifications and assurances necessary that they can provide it with confidence that we're not misusing or misappropriating the dollars and then fully reimbursing them when we get the dollars back.
Okay. Councilmember Hubbard.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Mayor Grant.
So speaking about not having that oversight, will we also have the internal audit every year?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And that it will be reported to the board as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor Petrolio.
Thanks. Is there anything that we need to do? I noticed that there's an anticipated local board action date, and there are two dates for Delray Beach. Is there anything that we need to be taking back to our board or to our city, or is this already in the administrative level? Just for understanding.
The mayor apologized. Because of the timing of the municipal elections and Delray's representatives and alternates changing over, we didn't have an elected official to send this information to in Delray Beach. I have sent it to your manager, who is taking action on your behalf, but I will send you the information I provided to him so that you're fully informed.
Thank you.
Councilmember Kretzky.
Just a question on 1G. I've wondered about it for a long time. Certainly retention of staff with the transition is important. I've never really heard. Are we assured that, for example, the staff still continue to be members of FRS and, you know, how it benefits and stuff? Because, you know, going with small, I just have had a concern about that, but I've never heard how that's going. If you can't address it in full now, can you get back with us? Because that's an important.
It is a very important to me as well. We want to retain all of the great employees that we've attracted to this agency that are providing transportation planning. You know, we're working in parallel on these items. So you don't want to do too much work before you know that you can transition to independence. Now that we're moving aggressively toward this outcome, we are focusing a great deal of our attention through this transition committee and through our staff efforts on creating the transitional benefits package so that we can bring all of the employees over to the agency with us.
Simple question. Would this agency be eligible to be the staff to be an FRS?
Yes.
Okay.
This agency is eligible for the participation in FRS, and we fully expect that the other employee benefits that this agency will be able to offer will either meet or exceed the benefits that they currently enjoy as county employees.
Right. Mayor Gerg.
So in that same line, this board will have oversight on salary offers and things like that. So this board will still have oversight over all of that and the retirement benefits and how that's offered. I'm questioning along those lines of how the benefits are going to get transferred.
Sure. So the execution of any benefit agreements will come before this board for action. So you'll be able to understand why we're selecting the entity we are, what we're recommending as the package, and endorse that or reject it and tell me, go figure it out again. I don't like what I see. As far as salaries go, the expectation would be that you would approve a contract with the executive director. Today you don't have that. Today I'm a county employee, and you really weren't involved in the negotiation of any sort of compensation associated with my role for this agency. So we would ask you to negotiate that contract with the executive director and to approve the staff org chart and pay ranges for those positions. And we would provide a lot of information to you on what other MPOs around the state are doing in order to help you feel comfortable with the position levels and pay ranges that we would be recommending to you, but that ultimately the individual salaries would be a decision you would delegate to me as the director.
Except for the director's salary.
Except for my own. Okay. That's right.
You get to pick that one. Our city manager.
Yes.
So I think we all understand that. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, independence truly will give us more control over the organization, which was the whole intent. And we will continue to keep you up to date. Hopefully that all city member cities will pass the resolution affirming the annual dues. And again, we're moving in a very aggressive pace. And is there any update, Nick, as far as your search for space?
Madam Chair, we are focusing our attention on the downtown West Palm Beach area. We are a multimodal agency. Our vision is safe, efficient, connected, and multimodal transportation. And so we're trying to identify an office site that is convenient to all modes of transit, of all modes of transportation. So we are focusing in downtown West Palm Beach. We have identified a number of potential locations. We're interacting with building owners and agents and trying to identify how the space would lay out to provide maximum flexibility to us as an agency. So we are progressing, and we will be sharing that information, just so this full board understands. We'll be sharing that information with the transition committee members, helping them understand what we're looking for, what are the pros and cons of each of these sites, and then ultimately we will be asking them to recommend to the full board a location for a lease agreement. So the details of pros and cons of which site are going to be wrestled with at that transitions committee meeting, we will share with the full board the sites that were evaluated and the recommendation of that committee, because ultimately it's the full board's decision as to where we go.
Okay, great. Any further comments or discussion? Great report. We'll now move to the TPA board handbook and member profiles. Nick.
Madam Chair, we have committed through our strategic plan to provide an updated handbook every March, April timeframe to coincide with our municipal elections, so that any new elected officials to this governing board have a little bit more information about what we actually do here. So I want to share with you that we have provided this update. It is the handbook itself was provided to you in your packet, and it is also posted on our website. And I think we're clicking our way there right now. So right on the palmbeachtpa.org/board is your landing site for all information related to your board meetings, your agendas, and the handbook. The hyperlink to the handbook is right there. That gives a high-level overview for elected officials unfamiliar with what this agency does. What are our major projects? We look at the long-range transportation plan. What do we want to accomplish in the next 10 years, in the next 15 and 20 years? We establish a list of priority projects and say which of those long-range initiatives do we want to work on next, and then we adopt on an annual basis a funding program that says let's allocate these dollars to these projects in these years. Those are the core functions of your role as a governing board member, and we want to make sure you fully understand how those processes work. What are your flexibilities and permissions in that process? How can we help invest dollars in transportation systems and services for your community that do the maximum benefit? You also adopt every 2 years an agency budget, a planning work program, which tells me what am I supposed to accomplish with my staff team and consultants over the next 2 years? Which dollars do I have available to use for that? Those are primarily federal planning grants that we are allocated, that we are given in order to provide this service, and then we also would show you what we're doing with your local member dues, which has been an item of conversation. We would show you that information in our two-year budget so that you understand what you're authorizing me to do with that money when it's being collected. Additionally, so that's the handbook. The handbook is really, it's providing both your roles and responsibilities as well as some contact information for agency partnerships. We want to make sure you know who to talk to at County Engineering if you're frustrated with the traffic lights. They're the maintaining entity for those. You can always call me, and I'll make sure we get the right person on the line or right person informed. You can also go straight to David Ricks, and David will make sure that the right individual is notified. If you happen to be in Southeast Palm Beach County in the city of Boca Raton, they maintain their own traffic lights, and we give you the information on who to contact down there. If you don't like the way those lights are being timed or operated, if you have questions about Palmtran, you've certainly seen their leadership team here this morning. You know who to talk to. We also have information about who to talk to at the DOT, at Tri-Rail, at the Seaport, at regional planning councils. We want to make sure you have the resources you need to be most effective as a governing board member. One of the resources we also provide to you is what we call a board member profile. And that is a list of demographic information, stats, as well as maps of transportation facilities and their uses within each of our member communities. So for each county commission district, as well as for each of our board members who are seated on these, governing board members seated at the table here, we have taken the time to create maps of the roadway system, the bicycle facilities, and the suitability for bicycles on your major road network, your pedestrian facilities, your transit facilities and services. Where do you have shelters today? Where do transit services operate? How many people use those services? And then we also provide you with a map and a table of what projects are going to be built and by whom in the next 5 years within your community. So if you say, what's going to happen in year three in the city of Green Acres, you can go straight to this map and you can say, oh, well, year three is actually the green lines. And in the green lines are, or the green lines and the circles are what's going to happen in year fiscal year 21 or year three of our five-year program. And if you want to know what that project means, you go to the next page and there's a little line in a table that says that project is going to be a county resurfacing project that's going to be performed with infrastructure surtax dollars, for example. Or it's going to be a state project that's going to add a right turn lane at that intersection, or it's going to install a signal, or it's going to construct a pathway. We want you to know everything about what's coming in your community. I want to make sure you're aware of these resources, and then if you have any suggested improvements to them, we want to make them as good as they can be. So anything you wonder about that you don't see here that's transportation related, let us know. We'll find a way to provide it to you in a convenient and accessible format so that you, again, are most effective, at maximum effectiveness as your role in your elected official capacity.
Excellent. Yeah, and these member profiles are really valuable. If you haven't taken a look at your community, I mean, it's just a great thing to share with your constituency so everyone understands what we do here as a board as well and the impact that collectively we have on our communities as far as transportation improvements. Any further comments or questions? Great. Great work. I will now move to our partner agency updates. We've heard a lot from PalmTran today. Commissioner Abrams, Tri-Rail, SFRTA, nothing to give us? Yeah, give us a little update.
I mean, the update really, you referred to the opening comments about the Miami Central Station. That's really one of our top priorities.
Okay, great.
Currently.
Wonderful. FDOT, anybody here that wants to provide us with an update or just wave and say hello? Okay, thank you so much. And love to have it. Great having you here. Palm Beach County, David Ricks, welcome. Anything to share with us today?
No, just one real quick thing, just to link in with what PalmTran is working on. They're also be working with the office as they develop their detailed route prioritization plan. They'll be coordinating with our five-year program as we got a five-year program in terms of capital improvements and resurfacing. So we'll make sure that we coordinate into what he's looking for, bus shops and shelters and right route prioritization with our capital plan. So.
Great. Thank you so much, David. We appreciate that. In your board packet was the March public involvement activity report, which is wonderful. Our next meeting will be May 17th, 2018. Thank you. Mayor Grant will be hosting us at their Intercoastal Park House in Boynton Beach, which is a beautiful facility. Again, thank you, Mayor Flores, for hosting us in your beautiful facility today. Is there any further comment or a discussion to come before the board? If not, thank you all so much for taking time to plan the transportation needs of Palm Beach County. Mayor Flores.
I just wanted to take a minute of your time to first of all thank Nick. At this last month's meeting, I raised a concern regarding one of our middle schools, which does not have currently a 20 mile an hour speed zone. Yesterday we got news from Nick and the work that he's done, and I know I spoke to other county commissioners, Commissioner Burdick, Commissioner Kerner, and Mayor McKinley. But we received a letter yesterday that they're going to be addressing this issue, and they hopefully will be implementing a 20-mile-an-hour speed zone. So, Nick, thank you for doing that. I also want to thank you and your staff for Valerie, I believe she's here in the room, for coming and presenting about the TPA to our council members. So thank you for all the hard work that you've done. I appreciate it.
Great. Commissioner Burdick.
Thank you. And one of your elementary schools, Hidden Oaks, the county is now looking at overhead flashers on the two-lane roads, and there are a couple in West Palm. The Roosevelt Elementary is going to be having one also over there. So the county is working on it. Thank you very much, Mr. Ricks.
Great. Any further board comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll see you in Boynton Beach next month. We're adjourned at 10:33.